Just kidding. And my friend Ben Price, so great. He's a wonderful comedian and impersonation guy, and he did that special just for us. And I want to welcome everybody here in the worship center and at home and in the fellowship center and in the chapel and on the patio. Usually I'm out on the patio, but today I'm in here. Shout out to my fellow dads. All right. Woo! Shout out to my fellow dads. You know, dads are like icebergs. You only see the tip. Like, the kids and the wife, they only see, like, they see the working guy, and they see the fun guy, they see the strong guy, and they see the protective guy, and they see the things that we repeat in therapy later on, and they say stuff that you repeat over and over again. They're a caricature, but, you know, below the waterline of a dad's life are daily pressures. Right, dads? Responsibilities, concerns that we carry that we're glad to carry, that no one else sees, that we don't talk a whole lot about, because that's our job. We're dads, right? And if you have a question about the importance of a father in your life, based on maybe your experience, not all experiences with dads are positive, all right? But if you have a question in your mind, like, why are we talking about influence and dads? You just got to look to the life of Jesus. And look at Jesus' connection with his father and how important that was to him and how he relied on that connection with his father and how he reflects on the father. He even said, you see me, you've seen the father. And so, dads, you have an important role. Fortunately for all dads, no matter how you've grown up or those of you who are going to become dads one day, you have got a model. Amen? And his name is Jesus. In fact, Jesus says that our relationship with the Father as grown people is to be still like a father and a child. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this, our Father. That's right. And so dads are big influencers in our lives. And today's message is certainly for dads, but it really is for anyone who has people connected to their lives. So that means we're all involved in this message. It's not just for dads. If you're a dad, great, this is really gonna be for you. But if you're a mom, this is really gonna be for you. If you're a friend to anybody, this is really gonna be for you. If you're a coach, if you're a teammate, if you're a neighbor, if you're a small group member, if you have anyone in your life that you come in contact with on a regular basis, this message is for you. So my question to you right now is, whose life is next to yours? All right, don't elbow them right now, all right? Or maybe you look around the kitchen, maybe their life is in the refrigerator right now as they're watching home church. But whose life is next to yours? And God has an intention for that. And the intention that God has for you is that you positively influence the people that he has given to your life. Again, it doesn't matter if you're a dad, a mom, a friend, a neighbor, an employer, an employee, a teammate, a coach. It doesn't matter who you are. God's intention for you is for you to positively influence that person's life. And the best influencer ever in human history is Jesus. And if you have any questions about that, let me just give you a couple metrics. 3 years, 12 men, 20 centuries of influence. Not bad. Right, 2.3 billion followers, no social media. You will not find at Jesus on Twitter, all right? That's influence, right? And so the Bible says that what Jesus models for us is meant for us. That no matter who we're in relationship, what Jesus models in terms of his influence on people, that's meant for us. Secondly, the Bible says that God's Spirit, if you're a follower of Christ, is placed in your heart to be like him, that you're in this process of becoming like Jesus. And in this area of influence, God wants you to become like Jesus. So here's where we're going in our brief time together. Number one, God has an intention for every relationship you have, all right? Number two, God has an expectation for us to influence. And number three, God has given us Jesus for the purpose of imitation. Everybody say intention. All right, everybody say expectation. And everybody say imitation. In fact, the Bible says, be imitators of God, right? And the first thing that we want to do is we want to ask ourselves, what's God's mind on yours and I influence? How does he look at us? What's the picture that he paints? And Jesus paints a picture of influence in Matthew chapter 12, where he says this, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, and make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. So the question in Jesus' mind is not, am I a person of influence? The question is, what kind of influence am I having? You cannot stop your character from coming out in conduct. Amen. Jesus said that you're going to be like a tree and you're going to produce fruit. And the fruit can be good or bad. That means that our influence can be good or bad. And he gets particularly upset with people who claim to be good and claim to know God, but actually their relationship with God is serving selfish purposes, and he's a little upset. He wants good things to come out of his good people from the good that is stored up in him, and we're going to unpack that in a second. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talks about influence as well. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, listen, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So let's unpack a few factoids about influence. Number one, my influence leaks onto others and my environment. Write that down if you're taking notes today. Yeah, you leak, all right? I know that's not a good image, especially for parents, all right? But you leak. You come in contact with people, what's inside of you will be projected out of you, okay? That's what the Bible says. Your insides will come out in the context of relationships eventually. You might fool people for a little bit. You might act a certain way to get them to think something about you. But eventually, under pressure in relationships, your insides are going to come out. Number two, my influence reflects what I think about. You notice that Jesus says the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Now, there's a deeper side to that. What's filling your heart? We're going to unpack that today as well. And then number three, my influence communicates my purpose. My influence communicates my purpose. I was getting ready for today's message, and I found this wonderful little observation by a fellow nobody knows. I didn't know him before this, but his name is Thomas Chalmers, and this is what he says. He says, every person is a missionary, now and forever, for good or for evil, whether he intends or designs it or not. He may be a blot, radiating his dark influence outward to the very circumference of society, or he may be a blessing, spreading benediction over the length and breadth of the world, but a blank he cannot be, right? A blank he cannot be. There are no moral blanks, he says. There are no neutral characters. We are either the sower that sows and corrupts, or the light that splendidly illuminates, and the salt that silently operates, but being a dead or alive, every person speaks. Isn't that insightful? Every person's a missionary. You know, either we're the salt that operates or the light that illuminates, right? Or we sow corruption wherever we go. What is he saying? He's saying what Jesus said. Your insides will come out. And so, like I said at the beginning, it's always good to learn from the best, amen? You know, I've learned from the best in my life. I've had some of the most amazing mentors, and my first one was the founding senior pastor of this church as a freshman at UCLA, right? One of my mentors is in the Bible. It says, remember those who lead you, those who speak the word of God to you, and considering the outcome of their way of life, imitate their faith, all right? But my mentors, the ones that have impacted me the most, they have a mentor, and his name is Jesus. They've learned from the best of the best, and they're reproducing themselves in the lives of people. So what we're going to look at today is we're going to follow John chapter 17. If you have a Bible, you want to flip it open there. If you don't worry about it. We'll put them up on the screen. But this is the most interesting chapter of the Bible, because it's Jesus, after influencing his disciples, reflecting on what he did to influence them. So he's talking to God the Father, and he's saying, okay, I'm about to punch my ticket back. I have to go through the garden and the cross experience, but I'm coming back, and I'm talking to you about what I did with the people that you gave me. And the first thing that Jesus models for us is this. You might want to write this down. Reveal your relationship with God. God gives people to your life. What is God's intention for your influence on those people? You're expected by God to reveal your relationship with God. It's the number one thing that you can give away in John chapter 17, verses 5 through 7. Listen to Jesus reflect on what he did with the disciples. He says this, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. Everybody say, now they know. Now they know. Okay? That's Jesus going, you know what? You gave me this group of men for 3 years of their lives. And guess what? Everything that I have heard and you have given me, I've given to them. What's the most important way that you can influence the people that God has placed in your life, whether you're a mom, a dad, a friend, a neighbor, an employer, a coworker? You can reveal your relationship with God. But that begs a second question, or another question. Is God present in your life so that you can reveal him? If the answer is no, here's my encouragement to you. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes to Jesus today. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that later on, because he's the greatest influencer that ever walked the planet. He's the most positive influence that has ever walked the planet. He loves you. He wants to help you. He wants to save you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to make you new from the inside out. And isn't that what counts? Yes. He wants to make us new from the inside. So reveal your relationship with God. And what is so interesting about this is that sometimes we're just subconsciously revealing what's inside and we don't know about it. But if you're a believer in Christ, this process is intentional. God's like, step on the gas, reveal, go for it. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 2, 14 to 16. It says, but thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us, everybody say, uses us, right, to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Wow. I mean, you talk about the word that is used a lot right now, spread, right? It's talking about a contagion, right? Coronavirus spreads. Well, guess what? The light and salt of Jesus in you spreads. In man world, we like to say, man, get a whiff of that guy. You get a whiff of that guy. What we're saying is, do you kind of get what's leaking out of that guy? You know, it can be positive or negative. But the Bible says, and Jesus models for us, that we need to reveal our relationship with God. Why? Because people need God. Amen? We need to reveal our relationship with God. Jesus said, I've revealed you to those who you gave me out of the world. So there's your first step if you want to really influence anybody who has proximity to you. Reveal your relationship with God. Now, I asked a question, is God present? If the answer is no, say yes. If you answered yes, God is present in my life, what does it look like? Well, if you have a relationship with anybody, you're talking, you're spending time, their character is coming out on you, you're having a dialogue, you're changing, you're becoming like them, bring that into the dialogue in your relationships. You have a relationship with Jesus? Well, what's it like? What does he say? What is he telling you? How is he transforming you? What are you learning? And be open. And reveal to those around you, especially dads, especially moms, but especially every person who knows Christ. So reveal your relationship with God. Number two, Jesus says, release God's truth into your relationships. He's talking with the Father, And he says, I revealed you to those you gave me. And then he says this, for I gave them the words that you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. So there's your second way to influence anyone in your life. Reveal your relationship with God, but secondly, release God's truth into your relationships. Why? Because that's what Jesus models for us. But then he says what happens when they receive God's truth. They believe. Wow, isn't that what it's all about? We're speaking truth. We're revealing our relationship with God, and then God's telling us truth from his word and from his example, and then we're giving that truth and we're pouring it and depositing it into every relationship that we have. You see, there's non-truth. Okay, those are lies. There's sort of truth. It's kind of a blend, but it's really not pure truth. Then there's the truest truth. And the truest truth is found right here. The truest truth is found here, and this is God's love letter to us. And in here, we read about how much he loves us, how we're created by him, we're created for him, and we're going to him, and we're going to enjoy him forever. But between now and then, he wants you to do a couple things in your relationship. He wants you to reveal your relationship with him to others in your life. And secondly, he wants you to release the truth that he tells you, the truest truth, into your relationships. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is coaching Christians. And he's like, hey, people are next to you, and your job is to help grow them up. Your job is to help complete them and make them mature. Listen to what he says when we bring God's truth into our relationships. He says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceptive scheming. Okay? Instead, listen in. Speaking truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined together and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. All right, so you have the non-truth, you have the sort of truth, and you have the truest truth. And as keepers of the truest truth, right, the word of God, the model of God, our conversation with God when he deposits it, our job is to re-speak that truth in love. And when we do that, people mature. People mature. You can't mature unless you are hearing, internalizing, and applying truth in your life. You get immature when you're listening to lies. And so when you see people not maturing, it's because they're not hearing and internalizing and implying truth. They're staying the same. But when we hear truth from God, and then we speak truth into our children, into our friends, it's not about their worthiness to speak the truth, because truth stands alone. Amen? Yeah, truth is unequivocal. It stands alone. So our job is to release truth into our relationships, God's truth, and say this with me, all truth is God's truth. All truth is God's truth, all right? It doesn't necessarily have to have a scripture reference if it's true, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Okay, so all truth is God's truth. So what did Jesus model for us? Reveal your relationship with God. Let it out. Then release God's truth into your relationships. Number three, rely on God for their well-being. So God has placed people in your life. You can only do so much, right? Right, dads, you can only do so much. Right? Because your kids are going to go off on the playground and they're going to bite people and get in fights and do things they shouldn't do. I mean, dads, you can only do so much. Moms, you're chasing after your kids all the time, but you can only do so much. Friends, you can only do so much for a friend. All right? Coaches, you can only do so much for your players. All right? You can't follow them around, but you can pray for them. You can rely on God for their well-being. Listen to Jesus then in the next sentence. In his conversation with the Father, talk about this. He says, I pray for them. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you've given me. For they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one even as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world. Listen, so that they may have the full measure of my joy, where? Within them. Wow. So what you got is you got a picture of absence and presence. So Jesus is saying, I'm present, so now I have this capacity to influence them physically, okay? And then he's going, Father, I'm coming to you. And we would say, if we're not in the presence of someone, that then we have a limited ability to help them or influence them, right? Not Jesus. He's praying now. He's going to God. And then he just goes, guess what? Father, I'm praying now. While I'm still in this world, I'm praying for them. And I'm praying for your power, that you protect them, that the full measure of my joy might live in them. He's having a conversation with God about them. They're not there. Right? And so you have absence and presence. And normally, presence would give you capacity to influence, and absence would limit your capacity to influence. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are unlimited. Amen. In your ability to influence lives, people, children, friends, the issues of their life. The question is, are you taking advantage of your access and your authority? That is the question. Because when you have access and authority and you don't use it to influence others, even in your absence. Parents, are you praying for your children? Friends, are you praying for your friends? Coaches, are you praying for your players? Right? Anyone who God has given you, we need to be like Jesus. We need to reveal our relationship with God. We need to bring God's truth, release God's truth into the relationship. And we need to pray for the people that God has given us. You know, the Apostle Paul was a great spiritual coach. He was also a great spiritual prayer. And he used his access and his authority and his connection to God to influence in the absence of being in someone's presence. Listen to how he prays for the Ephesians. He says this in Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Amen and amen. Who's praying for you like that? Are you praying for other people like that? Okay, Paul does three things, really simple. Everybody say them with me. I kneel, I pray, I ask. The Bible says that you're seated with Christ. If you're a Christian, you have a box seat in heaven, which means that you have the all-access pass. You have access and you have authority to influence people around. So you're on earth now, but you have access to heaven. And you, since you have access to heaven, you can pray for people and you can change stuff, because you have access. That's what God wants. Parents, pray for your children. Dads, put your kids to bed. Pray for them every night. Cover them, bless them. Moms, pray for your children. I know you already do, but pray for them even more. Friends, pray for your other friends. Pray for your spouse, pray for your friend, pray for your coworker. Wherever you are, wherever God has given you relationship, you should be praying for those people. And pray this prayer. What a perfect prayer. That's what's so great about the Bible, is that we can go, gosh, what should I really pray for people? Right there, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. Kneel, and then pray, and then ask for God to do things that only God can do, because you can't do them. To change hearts, to bring about salvation in someone's life, to bring healing, to bring peace. What is it that other people need in your life? If you have access and authority to pray as a Christian, start praying. Number four, we got to recognize the spiritual battle. Listen to Jesus talk to God, and he's saying, okay, I've revealed you, I've released truth, right? I'm relying on you, God, in my physical absence. I'm still connected through prayer. And then Jesus recognizes the spiritual battle, verses 14 to 17. He says this, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Wow. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And so there you recognize the spiritual battle and you recognize what people need in the spiritual battle. When you're battling the evil one who is the liar and the father of lies, you got to battle him with what? Truth. And so it's a blend. All of these things are kind of coming together. Man, I was with them. I revealed you. I revealed your word. I'm relying on you for them. And then I'm recognizing that while they're here on earth, there is a massive spiritual battle going on. There is a recruiting war for the identity of people, how they're going to be, how they're going to believe, how they're going to behave. They're going to pick an identity, whether it's pleasure or power or possessions or as a follower of Jesus on earth, there's a battle for that going on. And Father, I need you to protect these men that I've poured my life into, protect them from that evil one who lies and rips them off and pimps them into a false identity that they believe has significance and meaning. Wow. We got to protect the people that God gives us. Are you praying for the people that God gives you? Are you recognizing the spiritual battle that is going on right around you? You know, one of the things that Satan loves in the spiritual battle is his incognito. It's like we don't account for him. Jesus accounted for him. How did he account for Satan? He prayed for protection in the lives of the people that were right next to him. We got to be praying like Jesus did. Now, this is a big theme for Jesus. In John chapter 10, he says this, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd does what? He lays down his life for his sheep. It means he stands in between the forces that are coming and attacking. He will stand between the ones that he cares for and that he leads and that he directs. And if that same Jesus lives in you, that spirit of protection must rise because there's people that God has given you and they're sitting to your left and they're sitting to your right and they're eating cereal this morning and they're making a mess and they're pooping their diapers, okay? He has given you relationships to protect them and influence them, and you influence them by raising a shield over them against the flaming attacks and arrows of the enemy. That's what Jesus did, and that's what he models for us, is meant for us. Paul the Apostle, in coaching Christians in the city of Corinth in the Bible, it's so interesting. So there's division in the city of Corinth, and Paul is like a forensic spiritual investigator. He's coming in, flashing his badge, I'm the apostle. He walks past the yellow tape. He goes into the situation. He's like, what's going on here? Well, there's division between Christians. And then he starts dusting for prints. And he goes, I know who's here. I got it. Lack of forgiveness, resentment, racial division, rich and poor. I got it. All right? It's the devil. And then he instructs the believers there to recognize the spiritual battle and to forgive one another. And Paul says, if I need to give forgiveness, I'll give forgiveness. If you need to give forgiveness, give forgiveness. Listen to what he says right here in 2 Corinthians 2:11. After he says, if I need to give you forgiveness to get the devil out of here, if you need to give me forgiveness, give it. In order that, Ephesians 2:11, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. You know who is the author of division? Satan. He's been dividing people since the garden. He wants to divide people from people and divide people from God. He is the great divider. If you want to know what's going on in our country right now, it's demonic. It is the devil. He's been wanting to separate people from one another so he can isolate and destroy them. The Bible says that he's like a lion hunting. Lions separate their prey before they isolate and kill them. And so the solution is not cultural. The solution is not political. Oh, we need to do some things. The solution is spiritual. We need to recognize the spiritual battle. Amen? Amen. We need to recognize the spiritual battle like Jesus did. We need to pray And then we need to raise a shield and protect. Number five, Jesus models this. Reproduce yourself in the people that God has given you. You see, that was his end game. You know, when you see Jesus start off in the beginning of the relationship, he casts a vision for what's going to happen. He says, come, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men, right? It's a picture of reproduction. There's an invitation to relationship. Come. And then he says, follow me, right? Follow me as I follow God. That's imitation. So you have invitation, imitation, and then you have impartation. I will make you. I got 3 years to make you, right? A fisher of men. That's reproduction. You know that that's what God wants to do through you? As you have people he's placed in your life, as you've invited people and they're watching you, imitate God. And then there's a process of impartation that God wants to use you to impart the best in you so that it can become the best in them. Can I get an amen on that one? You know what, dads? I know because I'm a dad. You want, by some mysterious supernatural process, all of your flaws and failings to be muted in the lives of your children. And you want the best in you reproduced. Your best faith, your best character, your best integrity, right? Best in us, best in them. Well, guess what? That's not true just for dads. That's true for everybody in your life. It's true about your wife. It's true about your kids. It's true about your friends. What's the best things in you? And do people, when they connect with you, you leak positively on them and they come out of it and they go, you know, because I knew you, I'm different. Your character came out, and then it influenced my character. That's why the Bible says the companion of fools will suffer harm, right? Relationships form people, and God wants to use you to reproduce yourself. That was the end game of Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Now, there is a message of reproduction. I came from heaven. I left a very comfortable situation. I went and I did a very, very difficult thing. I took on human skin and took on the form of a servant, and I died the most torturous death anyone would ever die for the sake of other people. And guess what? I'm sending them. That's not just them. That's us. I'm sending them to go influence the world. And they're going to leave their comfort, and they're going to enter the spaces, big and small, that are hard to enter sometimes, and they're going to be influencers. They're going to show up. They're going to go into situations that aren't suited for other people because they don't know who they are. But a believer in Christ, they know who they are. And because we know who we are, we know what to do. And that is to reproduce ourselves. In John chapter 14, I just love how Jesus casts a vision for reproduction. Like, hey, what I'm doing right now, guys, you're going to be doing. I know you can't feel that or see that right now, and you think I'm, you know, the rabbi and the teacher and the miracle guy and the walker on water and all that stuff. But one day, you're going to be doing what I'm doing. Listen to what he says. John 14, 12. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. You know what that's called in football? What's that? Jesus lets go of the most prized thing in a football game. He lets go of the ball and he gives it to you. And he gives it to you. And he gives it to you. Whoever believes will do. It wasn't a whoever believes might do. It's not whoever believes could possibly do. It's whoever believes will do what I've done. What did Jesus do? He revealed his relationship with God. He released God's truth to people, to those around him. He relied on God for their well-being. He recognized the spiritual battle, and he reproduced himself in them. Now, parents, I know that that is, that's probably your greatest challenge and your greatest fear. Like, what am I going to reproduce in my kids? All right? And if you have any question on how challenging that is, go to a youth soccer game. Go to youth sports. Right? Come on, Johnny, go, go, go. Come on, Jane, go, 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 score. It's not about the kid. It's about the parent. It's like, you need to do good so I can feel better about me. Okay, because there's a difference between influence and manipulation. Manipulation, you're exerting energy out of your own interest. And then there's a difference between influence and projection. Projection means that you're taking your fears and anxieties and you're projecting it onto other people. That's not influence. Influence is for the sake of other people, not you. Amen? And that goes to our next point. Conversations going on. And Jesus models this. Remember, influence flows from integrity. You know, you can be the richest guy in the world. You can wear the right clothes. You can live in the right neighborhood. Drive the right car. People can like you out there. You can have an image. You can feel important. You can look successful. You can project an image. But if you don't have integrity, your influence means zero. It's all a show. It's all an act. It's all an Academy Award-winning performance if you don't have the integrity of being undivided between what you say you believe and what you do. Now, dads, please pay attention. Your kids, they need to see you do more than what you say. They need to see you having a relationship with God. They need to see you having a conversation and dialogue with Him in His Word and through prayer. They need to feel that expression in you and through you. Because you know what? If you're not consistent with that, it means you're compromising with that. And when you're compromising with that, it ruins the integrity of your message. And you see, that's where Jesus says this. Listen to this statement. It's so powerful. In John 17, 19, He says, "For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." Now that's just sanctified is just a big religious word that means set apart. I gotta set myself apart. I gotta be undivided between what I believe and how I live. And I do that for them so that they too will catch it and they'll see that. And they will be set apart to influence and be the salt that I've declared them to be the light that illuminates versus the blot that corrupts. In Mark 12, 14, Jesus's cynics and skeptics said this. They came to Him and said, "Teacher, we know that You are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by others because You pay no attention to who they are, but You teach the way of God in accordance with the truth." In other words, you're consistent under pressure. And because you're consistent under pressure, you have integrity. And even though we don't like you, and even though you're stealing followers, and even though everybody's following you, you know what we notice about you? You're the real deal, man. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what people say about you. You're living for an audience of one before God, and we see the integrity of that. Wow, that's why Jesus was such a powerful influencer. My modeling is my most powerful message. What are you modeling to your friends? What are you modeling to your coworkers or your boss? What are you modeling to your kids? Now, I know that we're not talking about perfection here, all right? We're not talking about that. What we're modeling is consistency. If I fall down, I get up. If I sin, I confess. If I blow it, I ask for forgiveness. Because that's the model that I've been given. Now, we're gonna close this out. And if you don't get anything out of this message, please remember this. And this is your influence fact. The biggest force in you will be the biggest influence through you. Say it one more time. The biggest force in you will turn into the biggest influence through you. You know, my story is one of chasing acceptance before I came to know Jesus. And chasing acceptance and insecurity over my worth was the biggest force in me. And that's why my picture is in the Lynbrook High School 1982 senior superlatives as Kenny Luck, life of the party. Really, what the caption should have read is Kenny Luck, the most anxious over his worth. Because that was a big force in me. But then I came to know Jesus. And he said, "Fight's over, bro. I love you. And there's nothing that you can do to eliminate that. Not only do I love you, I forgive you. Not only do I love you, but I'm gonna coach you. I'm gonna parent you. I'm gonna give you truth. I'm gonna transform you. I'm gonna fill you with my spirit. I got your back. You don't need to chase validation. My love for you makes you secure. No more chasing validation in the world. No more fear or doubt over whether or not you're worth someone's love, because I love you. And I fully identified with that love, and it set me free." Do you know that that's what God wants to do in your life right now? He wants to set you free to influence by becoming the biggest force in your life. So I asked you before, is God present in your life? Is he the biggest force in your life? Okay, if you want to be the biggest influence positively, you need Jesus in your life, because he was the biggest influencer ever. But you get so much more than that. Listen to what Jesus says is the biggest and most positive force that was in him, that went from him onto others, that showed his purpose, and that was the biggest force moving in him. He says in this conversation, at the beginning of it, he says, "For you, the Father, granted him authority over all the people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him." There it is. What's the biggest thing in Jesus, in him, that he gives to other people? It's eternal life. And he says, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That is where influence begins. It begins by knowing that you're made by God, you're loved by God, you're forgiven by God, you're going to God. But between now and when you go to God, God wants you to influence, and he's gonna help you do that by entering your life and putting his spirit inside of you and changing you from the inside out, so you become one of those good trees that produces good fruit, that you speak truth that he gives you to others, and you influence them. That you become that salt that operates and that light that illuminates. You see, Jesus' desire for you is for him to be the biggest force in your life. And by giving us eternal life, which is the ultimate definition of being a life-giving person, I think everybody here wants to be a life-giving person. Amen? Okay, well then, step into eternal life and then give eternal life away to other people. The meaning of life is knowing God personally and enjoying him forever. And so we're gonna pray now. I'm gonna pray over you. Why? Because I'm gonna rely on God for your well-being, and I'm gonna pray that God is going to use you in powerful and mighty ways. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're at home, just stop what you're doing right now. Put down the plate, the fork, the coffee, and let's have a moment with God. And I thank you, God, that I'm not limited by being physically present with anybody. But by your spirit, I'm in every home where my voice is being projected. I'm in the living room, and I'm with those families and kids and individuals as they watch this online. Your spirit is present, just like it is in this worship center and on the patio and in the fellowship center and in the chapel. And we're having a moment with you, and Jesus, we're saying yes again. Some of us are saying yes for the first time. I want to be a light. I want to be salt. I want to be a positive influence, Jesus, but I need you in my life. And so I am saying again, yes to you. Yes to your person. You're God. I confess that. Yes to your work on the cross for me. You died for me to cleanse me of my sin so that I could know and have a relationship with God. And yes to your purpose. I want to be an influencer for you all the days of my life. Come into my life, refresh my life, fill my life with your power so that my kids can know who you are, so that my spouse can know who you are better, so that my friends can experience the full measure of your joy. My coworkers could see me transforming right before their eyes, and so that I can release and reveal my relationship with you and what you tell me. So Jesus, we receive you afresh. We love you afresh. We pray blessings on every father. Thank you that you are a good, good father. In Christ's name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Can we thank the Lord for that word this morning? So at Crossline Church, we believe in community. And we believe in community on Sundays, but we believe in community all throughout the week. And no matter whether you're a dude or a dad, man, we have men's community for you. Please go and check that out online every Thursday morning. I have a live stream that we do for all the men of Crossline and for men all over the country. Please check that out. If you're a woman, we have online content for you. But don't let any fear that you have inside prevent you from connecting to God and connecting with people. They go together, okay? And so please connect online. If you're here with us on campus, we're gonna have a little party. So we're gonna have a hot dog. We're gonna have little games for dads and kids. God bless you, dads. You're an influencer. And God bless you, everybody else who's maybe not a dad. And I'm praying right now in the name of Jesus that your influence would go out this week, that whoever comes in contact with you comes in contact with Jesus. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a great week.